This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. The NBA playoffs, we're going to get into that more tomorrow. The Sixers get Miami in the opening round. The winner gets the Knicks, who ended up being the number two seed in the NBA. The number one seed in the West, by the way, Oklahoma City. It is the youngest average age of a team to be a number one seed ever in the NBA. How about that? And the and the NHL's not quite done yet. We'll talk to Josh Getzoff in the final half hour. I think they end Wednesday, I believe. But the NBA is done now, headed to the play-in part of it. And that's where they are at this stage. Before I get to the Masters, I want to quickly pay tribute to an absolutely wonderful person who passed away late last week. And I think most people know where I'm going to be going with this. It's going to be Kathy Drysdale. Kathy Phillips was a critical player for Rainy Portland's Lady Lion basketball team, the first one to ever be ranked number one in the country. And she scored over 1,200 points in her career. She was a terrific player. And then she went on postgraduate and worked for years with the Philadelphia 76ers. And the last 13 years came back and worked in marketing at Penn State. Her son is Derek Lively of the Dallas Mavericks. It was a really nice tribute. Derek was wearing a 42 jersey the other day, and that was his mom's number here at Penn State. She's only 53. She was diagnosed with cancer, fought, and then finally in August of 2022, they told her that she was cancer-free. And then it came back. And of course, I think all of you know who have had experience with this. All right. Those of you who've had experience with it, understand that if it does come back, it just seems to come back with a vengeance. Right? And that's what happened with her. It came back with a vengeance, unfortunately. So you try to take whatever positives they are from this wonderful, beautiful person. Oh, my goodness, all of us love Kathy. All of us did. And here are the positives, and I mentioned this on the broadcast on the pregame show on Saturday. She at least was able to live long enough. You know, of course, obviously not long enough, but was able to live long enough to see her son graduate high school and be one of the more sought-after players in the country. She had the opportunity as a mom to then go and watch him play at Duke. She then had the opportunity as a mom to see her son be the 12th overall pick in the draft. She lived long enough as a mom to watch him actually play and play well in the NBA. Obviously, you'd like to see her be able to see his entire career, for him, for her to see his entire career, you know, 10, 15 years, whatever it may be. Maybe become a grandmother, whatever. But at least she did get to see that. I'm sure for those of you out there who've lost a parent, you may have lost a parent before you ended up accomplishing what ultimately you have accomplished. And there's probably some times where you sit back and go, gee, I wish mom and dad had been here for it. You know. At least Derek, as painful as this is, and they've been going through it for such a long time, that they were able to at least, that he was, she was able to at least see all of this, and he could appreciate the fact that she saw this part. And of course, I remember when Derek was 7, 8 years old, for goodness sakes. And, you know, that's, so at least that's the special part of it. The hard part is that we've lost her. And she is, or was, absolutely terrific. Tremendously special. And she's going to be greatly missed by all of us. And, yeah, the Mavericks do play in the playoffs. And Derek's been in and out of the lineup a little bit with a couple of injuries here and there, but still. Yeah. But I just wanted to at least mention that before we moved forward here. Now let's get to something when it comes to analytics. We always love analytics, right? Analytics, like I said, great tools, love it. You know, but you have to, you know, it needs to be used with intelligence and judiciously. Okay, that's great. So let's take the Masters. The Masters was won by Scottie Scheffler. So there's a lot of stats and analytics put out there. Strokes gained off the tee. Strokes gained putting. Right? Tee to green. I mean, there's all these different things. Sand saves, things like that. Scottie Scheffler is not in the upper echelon of any one of those stats. You know, fairways hit in regulation, greens hit in regulation. Scottie Scheffler is not in this year's Masters in any of those stats. But he is I'll tell you, you know what the one stat that he had was that was outstanding in it, Todd? That stood out above all?
I was going to say a score relation to par?
Yeah, 11 under par. That was like, you know, I mean, you'd be shocked that in the end that's sort of the one that wins it for you. I mean, he took 277 shots to get around the place in 4 days. Okay. There you go. That's the stat. That's the one that means everything. Other than that, yeah. I mean, that's the stat. But we have all these analytics. What was the final score? What? I don't care about the final score. I got analytics. No. What was the final score? And that's for him? That was the 11 under par. That's the deal. So we can, you know, I love the fact that it is something that we can talk about, especially leading into, help analyze, things like that. But
the other big thing was is he's the only one that didn't get rattled either.
No,
he didn't. The only one that handled the pressure on the back nine.
Yeah. Yeah, which he did. I mean, he really did. That was
it was a four-way or a five-way tie going into the back nine, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty close to the back nine.
Yeah, something like that. And that is, that's what happens when you stay steady. When you stay steady, it means everything. And I think that's what he does. You know, he didn't hit the ball into the trees. Does he miss the green on 15? But it's his second shot. He's able to get up and down. He birdied at one point. Birdied 6 out of 9 holes, pretty good. See, that's always been with him. How good is his putter? And he always seems to put himself in great positions. But does he putt the ball well enough? Okay. And and he did. He was able to putt the ball well enough. Then it was also the last one for Vern Lundquist. Tiger Woods, very classy, going up and like shaking his hand as he worked his way through. And he, Lundquist had a great career. The Super Bowl 13 where Jackie Smith, who was a Hall of Fame tight end, mostly with the, mostly at the St. Louis Cardinals, goes to the Cowboys at the tail end, has a chance to play in the Super Bowl, much like Mike Ditka did in Super Bowl VI with the Cowboys. So he has a chance to do the same thing Ditka did, win a Super Bowl. And Roger Staubach throws one to him. The Steelers botch the play in terms of the coverage, and he's wide open. And you hear the call. He says he's got to be the sickest man in America right now. That's Vern Lundquist. Because after Frank Lieber, Vern was the play-by-play voice of the Cowboys, then followed by Brad Sham. You want to talk about three guys, what a run. Three great broadcasters right in a row. But then he goes to ABC, then he goes to CBS, and you saw him on the SEC on CBS for decades, 40 years at the Masters, NCAA basketball tournament. So I've crossed paths with him a few times over the years. And I went, it's just quite simply, the guy you see on TV, the personality you see on TV, is the same personality off of TV. He's got that big laugh. Man, can he tell a story. He's a real pro's pro, but his personality is no different off the air than it is on. He doesn't go on and just turn it on. Nope. That's not how he does things. That's not him. And I think that is a great tribute to him. In other words, the same day, the same guy. That you see on TV is the same guy off TV. How about that? I think it's the best way to put it. Cool one. That's the way he is.
There was two good pictures from that. One kind of funny and one pretty cool. Did you see the picture of Tiger Putton and Vern kind of leaning out behind the tree watching him?
Yeah.
At the end. And then there's Vern. Somebody got the picture of Vern and Tiger shaking hands, but it looks like Tiger's just shaking hands with a tree.
With a tree, yeah, because Vern's behind the tree. Yeah. And all you see is the hand out there. Like, where'd that come from? There we go. Perfect. Perfect. So, yeah. But it was classy that Tiger did that. But Vern Lundquist. Now, and you notice, Frank Cherkinian was the one, and Frank Cherkinian was a tough, I mean, I never met him, but everybody, the stories related about is this is one tough, he got on your case about how golf should be done. And he said, don't tell me what I'm, the obvious. Well, Vern obviously listened to him. So the great call that he makes on the legendary Jack Nicklaus putt in the 1986 Masters is exactly what a Frank Cherkinian, what he would want as an announcer. All right? And, yeah. Now, some things you can back up. With a graphic or something like that. And the but the way he set it up was textbook. And that's why you get the great moment on 17, because Vern's not doing 16 that particular year. He's got 17. And let's see, I think we got it here. Let me see here. And this is textbook as to what, as to how you call it on TV. Okay. And trying to think here if this is the one or not.
One of golf's most indelible images. Yes, sir!
But again, right, maybe, it doesn't say, it just says maybe, right? He'll kid around and say, he says it's about a foot away from the hole when I said maybe. it's difficult. It's about a foot away from the hole when I said maybe. But that's simple. He said three words. He said three for an iconic call. Three words. What does that tell you? Three words. And I'm in business where they say a lot of words.
Sometimes economy of words is the best, though.
Yeah, but that, I mean, but that's, see, that this is the brilliance of the broadcaster and the brilliance of understanding how to handle the moment. And he says, maybe. Maybe. Yes, sir. He says three words. He captures it all in three words. Now, he's got a visual to go with it, and it's really cool that he times out the yes, sir, with Nicholas raising his arms. Right? That's the whole thing. That's the whole key to it. I mean, that's the entire key to this, is that what he does.
Full possession of the lead.
Nicholas hangs over the putt for a while here.
Maybe. Yes, sir!
That's all you do. He does three words. It's iconic. Yeah, I mean, think about that. Three words. And nobody will ever forget it. One of the best ever and one of the nicest guys ever. And goodness, great. That big laugh. Oh, that big laugh carries over off the air. Oh, my goodness. Big laugh. Ooh, an updated list of men's basketball transfer portal. Great. Can't wait to read it. Another ESPN exclusive by the greatest guessers in the game.
I was going to say, it sounds like Ohio State got two big ones, though.
Did they? I didn't even
Aaron know. Bradshaw and Michi Norris.
Oh, Michi Johnson?
Michi Johnson, yeah.
Michi Johnson's coming back, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he had been at Ohio State. I mean, but they lost Roddy Gale. That didn't help. Roddy Gale's pretty good. So, yeah. All right. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this final half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. They go over every vehicle. At a terrific service department, routine to difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And then one final Vern Lundquist, and this is the Tiger Woods chip in 2005. Again, visuals with the economy of words.
Well, here it comes. Oh, my goodness. Have you seen anything like that?
That was with Joe Paterno when he was talking to Phil Knight. And he looked over and Joe says to Phil Knight, he says, well, could that Nike logo on the ball hung up on the lip of the cup any longer for you? All right, let's bring in. And he has had a great season. I was so thrilled when he got this spot as the TV voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Josh Getzoff. Josh, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Steve, great to be on with you again. I hope you're doing well.
Doing great, and congratulations. It's been a great season for you. I'm sure it's been a lot of fun for you to do it, and I'm sure the experience was everything you hoped it would be.
Yeah, it's been a blast. I've been really, you know, fortunate to have the trust of the Penguins to move into this kind of a role, and I didn't take it lightly, and I just took the approach that what I was doing got me there, so don't change how you are and or what you do, and that's kind of what I've continued on the path on, and we've had a blast. You know, it's been different with the different kinds of analysts, which I think is a cool thing. Like it challenges you as a broadcaster to develop and enhance your relationships that you already had with these guys, but also to figure out what their strengths are and showcase them in the best way possible. So I've really enjoyed it, and I feel like I've grown a lot, and I'm excited to continue in the games ahead.
Yeah, games ahead. It's interesting. In the last 10 games, only the Dallas Stars have won more. They're 8-2. The Penguins are 7-1-2 over the last 10. But the one was to the Bruins. How difficult was that just based on the current scheme with a couple of play?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality of their schedule right now, Steve. I think, like, even though they were in that stretch, which, as you mentioned, was right up there with one of the best, point streaks in the National Hockey League, the teams they were playing were tough. I mean, they didn't have an easy game in that lot. And it's hard to find the true definition of an easy game in today's NHL, by the way, with how much parity is in the league. But I think that going into Saturday night, I'll be honest with you, I was not all that confident they would win that game. Boston's a tough matchup for them. Boston's a great team, and they still have a lot to play for as far as winning the Atlantic Division, which they can do tonight, ironically, if they help the Penguins out and beat the Capitals in Washington.
Right.
But, as far as that game was concerned, it wasn't so much the result that surprised me. I would actually have been more surprised had the Penguins won it. What surprised me was every team below them winning.
Right, exactly.
It's a bit of doom and gloom now and a bit of a complicated situation in that all those teams jumped the Penguins by a point, albeit, but still, if the season ended today with that great lead-in line, those three would be ahead of the Penguins.
Right, and that's the issue at this point because they got, Nashville tonight.
Yes.
Sidney Crosby has had some great seasons. Man, I'll tell you, I can't think of a season where I thought he was better. I mean, yeah, he's had great seasons, but as an all-around player, I know you don't take anything he does for granted, but what kind of season has he had in what is allegedly the twilight of his career?
I still think, Steve, if they get into the playoffs, listen, I'm not naive here. I know what Nathan MacKinnon's doing. For the record, he's my Hart Trophy winner. Kucherov second, and McDavid's third. If I had a vote, I don't.
Sure.
We don't get to vote on that in the broadcaster's world. But I think that Sidney Crosby, if the Penguins get in, should be fourth. That's how big of an impact of this season I think he's had. You know, the Hart Trophy is defined as the player who's most responsible for his team's success. I mean, Sidney Crosby's got 90 points for the eighth time in his career. He's moved up the rankings. He's solely a member of the top 10 all-time in the history of the league in scoring, which is, even when you see, when we show on our broadcast some of the graphics, I feel like I make a comment every time. I'm looking at the names on these lists, and not that I don't consider Sid at this point to be, you know, top 5-6 player of all time, but when you see these other names, it really puts into perspective just what he's doing and the rate at which he's producing still at 36 years old, going on 37 this August. So I can't say enough about what he's done. And I think, you know, to be honest, there was a moment where it looked like he was going to, you know, I don't want to say shut it down, but not have this kind of surge that he's had after Jake Guentzel was traded. He looked and acted like an angry man, and an angry man in the sense of a little bit of a sulk, which is understandable. But after a couple games passed, that sulk turned into some anger that was translated into his game on the ice. And I don't think he's really looked back. I mean, he has been the catalyst, as he so often seems to be. But given where the Penguins were and what they are, you know, hopefully on the brink of doing, this would be one of his finest works yet, I believe.
Well, I think, see, what strikes me is Sidney Crosby, the two-way player. Everybody talks about the assists. They'll talk about the goals. I just think he has been superior defensively to go with it. He doesn't take any part of the game for granted, Josh.
Yes, I think that's 100% true. I mean, you look at, okay, so here's an example of the 200-foot game. When Sid first came to the league, his biggest weakness was the face-off circle.
That's right.
It wasn't that he was bad. He just wasn't as dominant in face-offs as he was at collecting points and you know, covering all 200 feet of the ice. So what he's done these last handful of seasons, he spends so much time after practice, even now, doing face-offs, doing work with the assistant coaches or facing off against a teammate to just practice that craft. And lo and behold, this year, no player in the NHL has won more faceoffs than him. He's won 1,060 entering tonight. That's the most in the National Hockey League this season. His faceoff percentage is 58%. If the season ends today, that's his best percentage of his career. Yeah. And he's in year 19. So I look at the stuff that he does that, you know, faceoffs are a stat, obviously, that are held on to, but the stuff like that, that there's still marked measure of improvement year to year that shows you all you need to know about the drive and how much he is hungry to continue to get better. As he said infamously in an interview earlier this year, he loves to learn. He loves to get better. And I don't know how many guys at age 36 with three cups, Hart trophies, gold medals, Conn Smythes, you name it, he's got it. And he wants to continue to just be a better player game in and game out, because let's be real, he doesn't have anything more to prove, but he continues to show that he's not slowing down.
All right, so when you look at this roster, we know Jake Guentzel being dealt. That was kind of took people aback. Who's been maybe under the radar, not getting enough credit, but has played really well for this team that could be a foundational piece moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I think Michael Bunting's addition, ironically enough, coming over in that Jake Guentzel trade, he's not Jake, and he's not going to give you what Jake gave you, but he gives them a different element that I think will help them in the long run. If they are to get into the playoffs, he's one of those classic examples of a tough guy to play against, and he's annoying. He pisses off everybody on the opposite team. We've seen it every single game. And he scored some timely goals, and he's been really productive for the Penguins. He's a goal away from a 20-goal season. So he's right there in the mix of all this. And I think he's been really, really strong this season since coming over. And I've been impressed with what I've seen from him. But if you're asking for an under-the-radar guy, to me, the emergence of Drew O'Connor this year is one of the greatest things to happen to the Penguins in a long time. Because you and I know, Steve, like, we've watched this team for a long time. I was thinking about this the other day. You have to really go back to 2016 when Brian Rust and Connor Sherry and Scotty Wilson and Tom Kunackel came in that were developed in the organization guys, not all drafted, but spent time in the minors, developed in the organization and homegrown to that point to come up to Pittsburgh and have success. It's been a long time. Like, it's 2024. That's 8 years ago. And Drew O'Connor, to me, is the first to really look like he could be a significantly contributing member of this team going forward with what he's shown this year. I mean, he's already at career highs with 16 goals, 33 points, I beg your pardon. He's been playing with Sidney Crosby a lot more with Jake Guentzel being gone. And unlike his previous opportunities there, Steve, I think Drew has kind of savored this moment and taken advantage of it, and he's stockpiled some points, which is what you need to do when you play with Sid or you play with Gino. And, you know, in the reality of it, hasn't always been the case with O'Connor. He's been a slow-developing player, but he's starting to find his stride. That goal he scored against Boston on Saturday was unbelievable, the shorthanded goal, and that kind of showed just how far he's blossomed as a player. But I look at him, and I think the biggest thing with him, for a team like the Penguins that are always going to be near the cap, he's in the first year of a two-year deal, and each year he's under $1 million in his cap hit. So right now, that looks like a brilliant contract if he continues to evolve, but he's been huge here lately.
You know, Chris Letang has gone through, obviously, some health challenges during the course of his career, yet this is a guy that's averaging nearly 25 minutes a game. I mean, nearly 25 minutes a game, and he's a plus 14. When you watch him play, how much smarter is he out there now in terms of understanding the game compared to 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think that's the right way to put it. He's understanding the game more, and that comes with time. And I think maybe more so than any other position, Steve, that comes with being a defenseman. You look at guys in the National Hockey League, a lot of times, not everyone's Cale Makar or Charlie McAvoy and jumps in raw at 22 and excels right away. A lot of these guys, you know, you throw Quinn Hughes in that conversation as well, by the way. But, like, a lot of these guys, it takes 2 years, 3 years to really figure out what it means to be an NHL defenseman, go through the grind of facing off against these highly skilled forwards every night where every guy's a little bit different and every team looks and plays a little bit different. And you're kind of learning on the fly as a defenseman to how to adapt and adjust each and every game while also discovering your game with the pace of play at the NHL level and everything that comes with that. So I think Letang was blessed, and he continues to be, because he's an incredible skater. I wish he would shoot the puck more.
Yeah.
I do think he has a really underrated shot, but he still has 10 goals this year. He's got 50 points this year. You know, no defenseman's had as many 50-point seasons in the history of the Penguins as Chris Letang, and that shows you something, because Penguins have had guys like Paul Coffey and Sergei Gonchar and Larry Murphy on their blue line. So the fact that he's set this kind of a mark speaks to, you know, one, his longevity, but two, his productivity there. But I agree with you. I think that, you know, as the year has gone on and as the seasons have gone on, he's realized, I can't just skate my way out of problems. I need to make decisions that allow me not to need to skate out of problems and figure things out, you know, ahead of time and have an effective decision-making mentality and everything that comes with that. So I do think that he's been a smarter player and a more understanding player of the game, you know, in his later years of his career. But, you know, just like Sidney Crosby, he hasn't slowed down. He's had some rough patches this year. We would call it for what it is. But yeah. I think that he's, overall, if you're going to tell me in the beginning of the year, Chris Letang's going to have a 50-point season and play every single game, you're taking that 100 times out of 100.
All right. So the goaltending part of it, I mean, there's been obviously some really good performances and some rough ones. Is that a fair way to evaluate where they've been in front of the net?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you go back to the beginning of this year, even I would even say really through the first half of the season, the goaltending wasn't an issue. The Penguins had some of their old warts show up where they weren't getting depth production. They weren't scoring if it wasn't the Crosby line. And their goalies actually kept them in a lot of games, both Tristan Jarry and Alex Nedeljkovic. But, yeah, down the last, you know, quarter of the season or so, they've had that inconsistency from Tristan Jarry that's been matched with consistency from Alex Nedeljkovic. And I think that that's been really interesting to see, because Jarry, we all know, first year of that five-year deal, worth just under $27 million, they hitched their wagon to him. And I'll be honest, he's left a lot to be desired here in key moments this year, and I think that he would probably admit that if asked about it. Alex Nedeljkovic, you know, they took a flyer on him. He won with Mike Bellucci, the assistant coach in Charlotte, in the American Hockey League in 2019, won the Calder Cup there as the starting goalie. He also played for Bellucci in junior at Plymouth in the Ontario Hockey League. So there was knowledge there. I would assume that Bellucci had some sort of push to sign him when he was available this offseason. excuse me. And he looks a lot more like the guy that was a Calder Trophy Rookie of the Year candidate 3 years ago than he does what he's been the last couple years in Detroit, where he won 26 total games in two seasons, and this year he's already won 17.
Right.
He's been great. He's going to start again tonight. I think fatigue is always the worry at this point with him, and he did look a little fatigued against Boston on Saturday. But I think when you're talking about the ups and downs of the goaltenders, it's no more amplified than when you say, in the beginning of this year, we had a guy that we just signed to a five-year deal, and it's the other guy that now will have started 12 consecutive games going into tonight.
And just one quick note. Normally when a guy signs a contract like that, you know what I usually have found? The second year is when they settle down, because they're feeling like they have to justify it the first year. I mean, that's normal.
That's a great point. I think you're probably right. Yeah.
Josh, great work as always. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Predators tonight, and appreciate your time.
You got it, Steve. Always enjoy talking hockey with you, and hopefully we can again soon.
Josh Getzoff, the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins. We will come back and wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
I see. All right. Sorry I was too slow, writes the suit. This is kind of like how we could start every conversation with him. Daniel and I have seen a lot of the baby Pens games this year. We even have select season tickets for next season. He says, player got moved up. He talked about him moving up. They say they really miss him since they moved him up. Well, that's what happens when you're following a minor league team. They move up. My favorite was always here in State College was what I referred to as the Yadier Molina effect. Every time he went on the disabled list, every catcher in the organization went up one spot. And then as soon as Molina came off the injured list, everybody moved back down one spot. Well, we're not going to see Carson Kelly for a while. Okay. 15 days later, he's back.
I was going to say, with the Yadi, that was probably a fairly regular occurrence.
But it was always funny when it would happen. Okay, we're going to lose him for 15 days. Because this is the way it is with the minors. But as I say to all the players that are here, I've always said, as much as I love having you around here, which is great, I hope you're not here next year. Because you want them to move up, because that's their goal.